A bird in the hand is worth what? It's Home Economics on 95BFM.
We're joined in studio for Home Economics this morning by Rupert Cullion.
This is very exciting. This is our first run of the segment, so welcome to the studio.
Hi both, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
I'm doing well.
We are here to help people through their money woes. Well, we're not here to help people.
I'm definitely not here.
Rupert is here to help people through their money woes.
My money woes are very high at the moment.
So we're going to talk about what people should be doing with their money, what people should be doing with their KiwiSaver. You guys can text in 5395 if you have anything that's on your mind, and Rupert should be able to somewhat guide you through.
Let's hope so.
But we've had a couple of questions in. So people have been asking, is it a good time to withdraw my KiwiSaver?
So it's a hard one to answer that, because KiwiSaver, there's only three ways you can get your money out. You either are over 65 and you're retiring, you are using it for a first home, or you've got significant financial hardship.
Mm.
So the honest truth is one of those three things will happen and you will make a decision, and that will force your hand, so to speak. So if you're about to buy a first home, take your KiwiSaver and do it. Financial hardship is a much harder one. If you take your money out today to pay some bills to help you through the next few months, the issue is the impact on your future. A 25-year-old taking $1,000 out today, by the time, if they'd left that invested all the way through to they were 65, that could be up to $10,000 that they're missing out on by the time they are 65. So our advice is always leave it where it is until you need it for retirement, if you can. Though if you desperately need it for something right now, then it is a little bit of a pot of money that you can call on if you qualify.
And you mentioned if you're like 25 and you think about buying a house or something like that, would you say now is a good time to be doing that? Or do you reckon people should hold off a little bit?
I don't, you don't know, right?
Yeah.
And that's the problem here. You go, is the economic situation about to get ugly? Probably. But at the same time, I mean, I refinanced my mortgage last week at 2.5%. So very low mortgage rates mean that people can afford to spend a lot more than they previously could. However, if you are going to buy a first home now, just be careful on what you're getting yourself into. At the end of the day, we are likely to move into an economic situation which isn't as nice as it was a couple of months ago. So just be wary around what actually happens if you need to take a pay cut. What happens if there's something around your job? Just be a little bit more cautious than you might have been a little while ago when you're setting up that mortgage. But will property prices change? Who knows? Everyone's telling me there's huge demand at the moment at all the auctions. So I could tell you right now that hold off, property prices will fall, but I'll probably be wrong.
What's the stock market looking at like at the moment? I'm wondering if people should start investing or wait till it crashes or like
The problem you've got by trying to time the market is you never really know what's going to happen. So markets are currently about 5-6% away from their previous highs in February, which, again, looking at down the barrel of a recession, is a pretty interesting spot. So will it crash again? Who knows? On Friday night, we had out of the US, we had some of the strongest job numbers they've had for a very long time. You had markets jump 3%. It's just trying to figure out a timing and figure out what to do. Generally, you lose. And research out of the US shows that the average retail investor will underperform the market by 4-5% per year, because they're trying to figure out when to get in and when to get out.
Right.
You should only be investing in the stock market if you're there for the long run, so 5 years at least. And that means if you're there for a 5-10 year period, it doesn't really matter if you kind of when you get in.
Okay, cool. We've had another question in here. It says, should I remove all my money from my bank? Are they going to crash? So no. I feel like this is for your average cash hoarder under the mattress situation.
I feel like having that much cash on hand is just too... I'd be like worried all the time.
Oh, you'd be petrified, right? Having that big pat of cash under your bed. Look, no, New Zealand banks, we are extremely lucky. They are extremely well capitalised. They are very unlikely to go bust. And I hate to say this, but even if they were to go bust, I would put money on the government stepping in to save them anyway.
Right.
In New Zealand, we do have a deposit guarantee scheme. I think it's $100,000 of your deposits which are guaranteed by the bank, by the government, sorry. So even if the bank goes bust, that first $100,000, the government will pay you back anyway.
Where does the, I'm really interested to know like where the whole idea of banks going bust count like came from and why people are worried that is a thing that could happen. Like did that
2008.
Right.
GFC.
Yeah.
So in the GFC, lots of them go bust.
Yeah.
We saw in the UK, you had RBS and Lloyds, the two biggest banks, need taxpayer bailouts. In the US, a lot of the big banks needed taxpayer bailouts. So you're right that none of them went bust. There were a couple of investment banks that went bust. Mm. Depositors were always looked after on the way through. But no, 2008, a lot of them did go bust.
Really this made people very, terrified.
Yeah. And fair enough. I mean, you saw Northern Rock in the UK, which did go bust until the book was bought out by the government.
Mm.
I mean, you had queues sitting outside cash machines, ATMs, as people were desperately trying to pull their money out.
Mm.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But this is a very different issue here.
Yeah.
That 2008, it was a crisis of the banks. The banks were caused the problem, whereas here, the economies have just stopped.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very different set of issues.
Mm. So we've got another question in here. Someone told me there are different types of KiwiSaver, active versus passive, but what's better?
We're a passive KiwiSaver scheme, so Kaira KiwiSaver. We are passive. We firmly believe that passive delivers better outcomes over the long run.
Yeah.
It's very, very rare.
So what's the difference?
The difference is how you invest. So an active investor will make active choices, and every single investment decision they make is they're making lots and lots of little choices. So they'll pick individual stocks, they'll pick the timing.
Right.
So back to your question, they'll go, oh yeah, I think the market's pretty high right now, so I won't choose to invest, or I will invest now. A passive investor, on the other hand, invests systematically.
Right.
So we will invest in the market, or we'll invest in an index. And we will invest every day, no matter what's happening in the market. So what that means is that we can offer lower prices to our customers. So for example, for us, our funds are about half the price of the average KiwiSaver fund. And actually, more importantly though, all of the research shows that actively managed funds very, very rarely outperform. And so we would expect a passive strategy to outperform over the longer run.
I think a big point in terms of KiwiSaver is also ethics of where the money's going. Do you think that, I guess I haven't really talked to anyone else about this, but in terms of ethics and transparency, is there big transparency around where your money's going, or is that still kind of hidden away? Well, if you caught up, could you maybe ask, like, would they know where your money's going?
Yeah, they will do. So you will always be able to ask your provider. And for those of you who probably can't see me, I've got a slightly contorted look on my face here because it's a really hard one to answer.
Yeah.
And I feel like, but it's a big, like your, you know, money that you're essentially earning weekly is going to these the corporations that you might not potentially like, you know, align with in terms of your values.
And I think that's really important because it is your retirement, and fundamentally your retirement, which is what you're saving for, needs to be more than just money, right?
Mm.
You need to live in an environment that you're proud of, you want to live in. And so your money and supporting different causes will help that. The short answer to your question is your provider should be able to tell you what and where and how their money is invested in.
Cool.
Is it that simple? Kind of not. Mm-hmm. But keep on asking them. These days, there are a number of KiwiSaver companies and KiwiSaver schemes that do have very sustainable and ethical investments, of which we are one. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important that you do ask that.
Yeah.
And rather than it being a simple exclusions policy, i.e. there are certain things that they won't invest in, the good managers will also be pushing management and voting and doing things in a way to help companies improve where they are as well. What's really interesting though, over the last couple of years, the sustainable funds have gone from being very small globally, a small kind of niche offering, to just growing exponentially.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's because for two reasons. One is people are realizing they need to invest where they want to be, but more importantly, they've outperformed.
Mm. Yeah.
Supporting things that you believe in, lo and behold, actually makes you more money too.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I've got another question here just before we let you go. I'm 25 and still studying. How much should I be contributing to my KiwiSaver?
So, again, it's a little bit of a hard run, right?
Mm.
We would always say contribute as much as you can, for the reason being that the more you invest today, the more money your investments will make.
Mm.
So if you say a growth fund, well, it should make 4 to 5% every single year. So the more money you have invested from a young age, the more money that will make for you, so the less actually you have to save over the long run for your retirement. So that's the put as much in as you can, but that's always hard. Make sure you put in at least $1,000 though. Because if you put in $1,000 or $1,042 a year, the government will match that and give you $521.
Yeah.
So that's an immediate 50% return on that first $1,042. So do that, and then anything above that you can afford to as well.
So in terms of doing that, if you're not keeping up with your KiwiSaver, perhaps you should be going on and checking how much is in there and then topping it up if you can.
So hopefully your provider, because the voluntary contribution or the government tax credit year end is actually 30 June, so you do need to do that in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, cool.
Hopefully your provider has got in touch with you to let you know how much more you need to contribute. If not, give them a call. They should be able to tell you. Otherwise, you can go to the IRD website and log into My IR, and that'll tell you how much you've contributed so far this year as well.
Boom.
Cool.
There we go.
Well, thank you very much. We will be doing this segment every week. So if you have burning questions, send them through to 5395, or you can email them to studio@95bfm.com. And otherwise, we will see you next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
Money, money, money must be funny in a post-capitalist utopia. Home Economics on 95BFM.